And as we come to our sermon time together, I invite you to pray with me and to pray for me. Lord God, take my words this morning and speak through them. Take our hearts this morning and speak to them. Holy Spirit, we acknowledge your presence in our midst, and we invite you to bring conviction to our hearts through the living word, that you will initiate healing and transformation in our lives. And we pray this all for the glory of your great name, Lord Jesus. Amen. The prophet Jeremiah begins our reading for today from the Old Testament with a word of woe. The Lord declares through the prophet, "Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep." Now, these shepherds that the Lord condemns are to be understood to be the kings of Judah. Historically, at this point, the nation of Israel has been divided into two kingdoms. The northern tribes were Israel, and the southern tribes were Judah. As you read through the accounting of the kings in 1 Kings and then 2 Kings, and as you encounter the announcement of each new king in Israel or in Judah, an appropriate question to ask as you're reading is, what kind of king will this king be? What kind of king will he be? A common introduction to 1 and 2 Kings regarding a new ruler was, so-and-so, the son of so-and-so, began to reign. And this king reigned so many years. And then there was always a statement, and he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, or what was right in the sight of the Lord. There were some kings who were noted to have done what was right in the sight of the Lord, but they were far outnumbered by those kings who did evil, who led the people of Judah and the people of Israel away from the Lord. In verses 1 and 2 of our reading from Jeremiah 23, Jeremiah speaks the Lord's woe to those past kings and to current and future rulers who would do evil rather than right before the Lord. Kings who would lead the people astray away from the Lord rather than calling them to the Lord or drawing them into the Lord's presence. Kings who were shepherds who destroy and scatter the Lord's sheep, the Lord's people. But in almost the same breath that the Lord speaks woe to the shepherds, he speaks hope for the sheep. In the next verse, verse 3, the Lord says through the prophet, "Then I, the Lord, will gather the remnant of my flock. I will bring them back from captivity to their fold or to their pasture, where they will be fruitful again." Verse 4, "I, the Lord, will set good shepherds over them who will care for them, and my sheep shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, nor be missing or lost any longer." Then, after this word of hope for the sheep, the Lord proclaims something transcendent through the prophet, announcing a future king, a righteous branch from the root of King David, who will deal wisely, who will execute justice and righteousness, this future king, who will bring salvation to Judah and to Israel. And this king's name, we read, will be "The Lord is our righteousness." Through the prophet Jeremiah, the Lord speaks of the king that God's people were promised, the Messiah from the root of David, who would deal wisely while executing justice and righteousness and salvation. In this prophecy from the mouth of Jeremiah, the Lord God promises to raise up the king, his Messiah for his people, King Jesus. Jesus, who is from the human lineage of King David. He's from the root of David. But he's also the only begotten Son of the Heavenly Father. One with the Father and one with the Holy Spirit. He is the only truly righteous King. Jesus is the righteous King above all kings, ruling with equity and justice, full of grace and mercy, through whom is found salvation, forgiveness of sin, redemption, and new life. This is the King that we celebrate on this Christ the King Sunday. As Jesus is the King that fulfills every hopeful expectation for the righteous branch that was prophesied. In Christ there is righteousness, there is judgment, and there is peace. So what kind of a king is Jesus? Well, he's the king that is the fulfillment of all scripture, and especially of our psalm, Psalm 46. Jesus as the king is our refuge and our strength. Jesus is a very present help in trouble. In Christ, the Lord of hosts is with us. In Christ, the God of Jacob is our refuge. And it doesn't matter, verse 3, that the waters roar and foam, that there be earthquakes. It doesn't matter, verse 6, that the nations are in an uproar. Because in Christ, no matter the circumstances, we read in verse 10, the psalmist declares, you can be still and know that he is God. It's actually a command. Be still. As his people, as his sheep, be still and know that he is God. What kind of king is Jesus? He's the king that invites you to be still. To cease all striving. To be at peace no matter what. Because he is the king that works salvation for all. And his salvation, it's a gift. In Christ, God offers the gift of salvation to all who will believe. It is not earned. No one is righteous on their own, as we read in Scripture, for all have sinned and fallen short. Jesus Christ alone is the sinless, righteous one who died for you, who paid the price for the sin of the whole world, that all who believe in him might not perish, but have eternal life. He is the king who conquered death in his resurrection and who lives. What kind of king is Jesus? Our reading for Christ the King Sunday from the Gospel of Luke tells the historical narrative of Jesus on the cross. And this may seem odd on Christ the King Sunday. Why his crucifixion? Well, it's because this passage proclaims Jesus' kingly characteristics. Jesus is being executed after Pilate declared no guilt was found in him deserving death. He was cleared by Pilate after the midnight inquiry, and yet he's tortured and he's executed. Jesus is the king who stands with all who are wrongfully accused, all who are slandered, all who are persecuted, granting peace to his people who suffer in his name. In the midst of his execution, we see his first characteristic in that Jesus proclaims forgiveness. Verse 34, as they're crucifying him, Jesus speaks, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. And in spite of his forgiveness, those around him, the people executing him, those people continue to question his kingship. Verse 35, If he is the Christ of God, let him save himself. If he is. Verse 37. The soldiers say, if you are the King of the Jews, save yourself. Verse 39. One of the criminals rails against him. Are you not the Christ? Aren't you the King after all? Save us. The people railed against him. The disciples grieved and were scattered. They didn't understand. They questioned, what's going on? This isn't what we expected. Only one in that scene saw with clarity who Jesus was in the moments before his death. It wasn't Mary, his mother. It wasn't John. It was the second criminal. He alone saw clearly. He alone knew what kind of king Jesus was. When the first criminal railed against him, are you not the Christ? Save us. The second criminal defended Jesus with his rebuke. Do you not fear God? He saw the suffering king with his own eyes. He heard Jesus speak forgiveness. And I believe, as I understand this passage, he knew that forgiveness was true and he received it. Jesus is the King whose forgiveness is freely offered to all, no matter what you've done, including this criminal hanging beside him. How do we know that he received it? Well, in the next moment, the criminal, I envisioned him raising up, his feet are nailed to the cross as Jesus's are, raising up, taking a breath, turning his head to look toward Jesus and saying, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. There, he was the one who recognized Jesus to be king. And in those moments, he received the king's forgiveness and the king's new life as Jesus responded to him, truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. The criminal believed Jesus to be king. What do you believe about Jesus? Is he king? How would you answer the question, what kind of king is Jesus? Perhaps a better question would be, how does your life and your priorities answer the question, what kind of king is Jesus? Is he a king to be acknowledged? Is he a king to be believed? Is he a king to be obeyed? Is he a king to be followed? Is he a king to be served? Is he a king worth losing everything to? Jesus is the king who freely offers everyone forgiveness, redemption, and salvation, and new life. There's to be no striving or trying to be good enough to earn this new life. No striving. It's freely offered to every one of you, to all who live. So there's no striving to earn that gift of salvation. But once one receives the new life, once one receives salvation, there is expected to be some effort in following Jesus. We catch a glimpse of that in our reading from Colossians. Jesus calls you, if you are one of his followers, to take up your cross and to follow him, to lose your life in order to gain his new life. That's how it's recorded around Luke chapter 9. Now, that's not something that just happens, losing your life. Following Jesus will take effort every day. If Jesus is your king, you're called to, as we heard in the letter from Paul to the Colossians, you're called to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. That's verse 10. There's effort. It takes effort to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, because we are constantly having to confess, repent, and return to him. Confess, repent, and return to him. But Jesus is worth it. He's the only king that's worth it. There is no salvation to be found anywhere else. And there's no peace to be found anywhere else. Jesus is the king that promises you that you will endure hardship and persecution and suffering. He promises you will endure those things if you follow him. And at the same time, Jesus is the king who promises always to be with you, to never leave or forsake you. And he kept his promise to you by sending his Holy Spirit to be with you and to live in you by your faith in Jesus, to be your counselor and your comforter in all seasons. This is the King we worship today. Jesus is the King who is your refuge and strength and a very present help in trouble. So wherever you are today with King Jesus, he is the king. There's no doubt about that. He is the king, and there is no other king. I pray that today you are either challenged to receive this gift of new life for the first time or to recommit your life. I don't assume everyone's walking with Jesus, seeking to live a life worthy of the manner, worthy of the Lord. I hope if you're outside the kingdom, you'd be challenged to receive that gift today. Or if today you're a follower of Jesus, you believe in Jesus, you're seeking to walk after him, I pray that you're challenged to evaluate how your life reflects his kingship. May today be a marker for you as you walk into the season of Advent. I close today reading the description of King Jesus written by the Apostle Paul to the early church in Colossae. I invite you to stand as we hear the answer to the question, what kind of king is King Jesus? I'm reading the second half of the reading, verse 15. Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And Jesus is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And Jesus is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in Jesus all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile himself to all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And you who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he is now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above every reproach before him. This is King Jesus. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.